Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, April 18, 2014. South Sudanese officials blame UN peacekeepers for causing yesterday's deadly mob attack by shooting warning shots into the air at a UN base in Bor.
Trained peacekeepers or trained law enforcement agencies, once you know that fellow is with a gun, you don't control him by shooting in the air.
And as Christians celebrate Easter Good Friday in Juba, Anglican Bishop Hilary Garang has a message for President Salva Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar.
If Kiir have hurt Riek Machar, he should admit that fault. If Riek Machar had offended and killed innocent people, have not given good command to his people, let him also that failure admit it. And we will confess our sins. God will forgive us, and we also will forgive one another.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. As the death toll from the shooting at a UN base in Bor rises, government officials in Juba blame UN peacekeepers for provoking the deadly violence. At a news conference in Juba today, ministers say they will investigate the matter and bring the perpetrators to justice. Charlton Doki has the details for VOA from Juba.
Unofficial sources, including eyewitnesses, say more than 60 people have died, while Vincent Lele, head of the UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs in South Sudan, confirms at least 40 people were killed during the demonstration started by armed youths outside a camp that houses predominantly Nuer IDPs.
This is an exceptionally tragic incident where people who had sought shelter and refuge and protection in a UN base were attacked by gunmen, and the numbers of the dead are not completely clear. The numbers keep changing all the time. They are now considered to be about 40.
Lele says the attackers forced their way into the camp and opened fire directly into unarmed civilians, including mostly women and children, using powerful military equipment, including rocket-propelled grenades. UNMISS said in a statement yesterday that prior to the incident, its peacekeepers guarding the base fired warning shots in the air to stop the protesters from entering the base. Officials in Juba appear to be blaming UNMISS for the violence. Here is government spokesman Michael Makwey-Lueth.
You don't stop a moving mob with gunshot if you know that they are armed. In fact, it is this gunshot which provoked the situation. And this is why we want this investigated. If the UNMISS peacekeepers were well-trained people who know how to control mobs and how to control demonstrations, they would have not shot a bullet into the air.
Interior Minister Aleu Ayeny Aleu also blamed the UNMISS peacekeepers.
Shooting in the air is a very terrible provocation. Trained soldiers, or trained peacekeepers, or trained law enforcement agencies, once you know that fellow is a gun, you don't control him by shooting in the air. Because each one would feel that his colleague has been shot. They will all hit the ground and start fighting. It can never happen in any conventional way of controlling things. Somebody provoked that, and that one has to be investigated.
Makwey says UNMISS should not have allowed IDPs to celebrate the recapture of Bentiu by the rebels.
The UNMISS failed to control these internally displaced people so that they abide by and respect the ground rules of the camp. Not that only, but they should also avoid provocative actions that may provoke others, like what they did when they celebrated Timbor. In other words, anybody who celebrates successful operations being conducted by the rebels against the government means that person is a rebel.
Foreign Affairs Minister Barnaba Marial Benjamin says he regrets the killing of innocent civilians and tried to reassure the international community that the matter will be investigated.
The government of the Republic of South Sudan strongly condemns the incident that happened in the UNMISS camps. You must know that the citizens, whether they are the youth, whether they are the IDPs. These are citizens of the Republic of South Sudan, and we will not encourage them killing themselves. And as said by my colleagues, an investigation will be carried out which will involve the government and UNMISS.
Oxfam country director Jose Barahona says none of his 8 workers at the camp were injured, but the incident has forced Oxfam to reconsider its security protocol.
Until yesterday, we thought that we were relatively safe by staying and operating inside the UNMISS base, and the UNMISS bases in general. And then since the incident yesterday, we cannot take that for granted.
Barahona reiterated that the organization is committed to helping people in the camp, but they will reassess conditions and possibly make policy changes to ensure the safety of their personnel. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
The United Nations and United States have strongly condemned a deadly attack on the UN compound in Bor and have quite a different take on who is responsible for the deaths. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said in a statement released yesterday that the attack is a war crime and a serious escalation of 4-month-old conflict in South Sudan. The U.S. ambassador to the UN, Samantha Power, says the attack, quote, purposely targeted civilians as well as UN mission in South Sudan personnel, end of quote. In a statement, Power says the attack was cruel, inhuman, and an outrage against the people of South Sudan. She says the attackers used heavy weapons, including rocket-propelled grenades, to breach the UNMISS compound and then open fire on nearly 5,000 displaced persons under UN protection inside the compound. The UN's humanitarian coordinator in South Sudan, Toby Lance, said he is deeply saddened and frustrated by the attack in Bor and by fresh fighting in Bentiu. Lance said in a statement that there is no excuse for direct attacks on civilians or on those risking their own lives to protect them. UNMISS says the attackers showed up at the gates of the UN compound in Bor saying they were peaceful demonstrators who wanted to present a petition to the UN. When they were refused entry to the compound, UNMISS says, quote, the armed mob forced entry into the site and opened fire on the internally displaced person sheltering inside the base, end of quote. UNMISS spokesperson Joseph Contreras says the UN peacekeepers returned fire to scare the mob.
The armed mob dispersed after more warning shots were fired in the air. Subsequently, the commanding officer of the Indian Battalion of the mission in Jonglei met with the senior commander of the Sudan People's Liberation Army in Bor, and that commander deployed SPLA troops to help secure our compound and cordon off the site from any further protests or attacks.
UNMISS says two peacekeepers were among dozens who were wounded in the attack, but no UN personnel were killed. The UN is still working to establish the casualty toll from the attack and is calling on South Sudanese officials to make sure that there is no further attacks on any UN premises, especially those sheltering civilians. Professor Simon Monoja Lobang, who teaches at the University of Juba Center for Peace and Development Studies, says this week's fighting makes an already difficult situation even worse. He says the shooting at a UN camp in Bor could further damage the relationship between Juba and the international community.
I think the quarrel between the government and UNMISS has gone back since the eruption of this war. I think the way UNMISS behaved has, in fact, created some suspicion in the eyes of some government officials that they seem to be siding, and in fact this has been an accusation put to UNMISS that they are siding with the rebels, with Riek Machar. You do remember the information minister, when he went, he wanted to enter the UNMISS compound, he was prevented. And that created a bad blood feeling, I think, in my view, between the government and UNMISS.
People were killed, civilians,
yeah.
And IDPs in the camps in the UN, seeking protection for their lives. Do you think this is going to create more fear among these people that they may not trust the UNMISS to protect them?
To be truthful, mistrust among people is so great to the extent that those people who ran to the UNMISS compound are considered to be of the supporters of the other side. That suspicion will be further by whatever action UNMISS may take in order to protect those IDPs. Suspicion is now rife. You have this accusation that this conflict had been ethnic-based. Government denies that it is not ethnic-based. Even the rebels deny it is not ethnic-based. But on the ground, again, there's a lot of ethnicity in it.
The incident of yesterday, what is their situation? Do you think they are going to trust more the UN that they are under protection, or even the government?
UNMISS even now is coming more and more on the spotlight as supposed to be protector, but at the same time as an aggressor on the other side for having maybe protected people who are considered enemies.
What is UNMISS supposed to do?
Now they have been also thrown into the role of not only protecting civilians and keeping peace, but also they have now to accommodate. So in a civil war situation within the same country, if somebody is sheltering the supporters of the other side, they are considered enemies of that side. You know the famous thing they said, your enemy is my enemy. Or rather, if you are my enemy, your friend is my enemy. So that kind of logic, it is now creeping into this situation. And that's why I said UNMISS is in a very tight corner.
Where do you see this heading?
There's a lot of pressure, I think, on both sides, both from within the civil societies and from the civilians in the South Sudan. Nobody really wants this war. I can see IGAD doing a lot of efforts, but again, they are complicating the matter because they want to extend these negotiations into a kind of general conference for all, I don't know, who are the stakeholders. To me, the stakeholders in this particular conflict now is the opposition and the government. What they should concentrate on is to see that the implementation of cessation of hostilities should be properly monitored, and each side should be given very strict sanctions if they violate that cessation of hostility.
That's University of Juba Professor Simon Monoja Lubang speaking with reporter Mungume Debs Rwakarinj earlier today in Juba. A children charity called SOS Children's Village is taking care of 137 children in Juba, all of whom were relocated from Malakal, where they witnessed unspeakable horror. The charity had not been operating in Juba until the fighting broke out in December. Charlton Doki visited the house, a former hotel building, and has this report for VOA from Juba.
Officials here say many of the children are traumatized by what they saw during the fighting. 16-year-old Nyawel Dau says she saw terrible things happen in her hometown of Malakal, the capital of Upper Nile State.
And Vicar of Karkap.
I think of terrible things. When one sees a dead body, that's really a bad thing to see.
Another child, 15-year-old Nyabul Maik Deng, says she was appalled by what she saw.
I saw a dead body. When we arrived at UNMISS, we went to church and a man was killed near us. And when we went home, the Nuer came around asking for money and mobile phones. One day they came to take us, and when we were rounded up, we started crying. That's when our mother said we were Nuer, and because of that, they left us alone.
Nyabul has a message for South Sudan's leaders.
I beg them to stop fighting so that God will deliver us to a better place, and I advise my brothers who were left behind in Malakal to go to school.
19-year-old Thomas James says he too is disturbed by what he saw during the violence in Malakal.
I think of the things that happened in Malakal, and the fighting that broke out was very bad. We stayed almost a week without water.
James says despite what he saw, he still misses his home.
I am not happy with my life here in Juba because I don't have the things I used to have in Malakal. My life in Malakal was a good life.
Nyaban Chol Nyakwey, a foster aunt to some of the children at SOS Village, confirms the fighting has damaged the psychological well-being of many children.
The kids panicked so much and burst out crying when these people barged into our place. Like when they see 10 people come in, they panic. So we took them and fled on foot to UNMISS camps.
Angelina Kuch Akol, who has worked as a foster mother at the children's home for the last 7 years, says the children suffered so much during the fighting in Malakal and that it's a good thing they were relocated.
These kids have suffered in this war. When fighting broke out in the morning and I heard gunshots all around, I was going to the bakery to buy some bread. But when I returned, the kids had run off for their lives. So I dropped everything that was in my hand and ran after them to a safer place.
Nancy Acheng, a psychosocial counselor at the SOS Children's Village, says the children are traumatized by what they saw.
When they just came from Malakal, it was tense. Fighting was the order of the day, and it was so severe. Now the children are coping because before the fighting, they were living in Malakal, they were living as a family. Some will tell us what they saw from the soldiers killing. They don't want to see it happening again.
Nancy and a colleague are helping the children try to overcome their trauma and readjust to life in Juba. The children here have nightmares, but they also have dreams for the future. Charles Banja Napoleon, director SOS Children's Village, says his organization is working to help the children achieve their dreams.
There is feeding and there is good accommodation to the children, good health services. We also enroll them in kindergartens up to secondary school.
The charity has rented a former hotel building, which now serves as a village for the children. The center is organized in such a way that the children live in homes and are cared for by aunties and foster mothers. As a foster mother, Angelina Kuch Akol says she is committed to helping the children grow.
They bring a child who is only 1 day old, and I take care of him until he grows up. Like this kid you see here, he was brought very young. I cook for him and I bathe him. I feed him milk often enough, even at night, and as soon as he wakes up in the morning.
And Nyakwei says she reaps rewards from being a foster aunt.
A love relationship has grown between me and these kids, and since they don't have mothers, I become their mother, who takes care of them, and who would know if they were sick and describe their sickness to the doctors.
The children range from 1.5 to 20 years of age. Boys from the ages of 13 to 20 are separated from the younger children and accommodated in what are called youth houses, where they learn to do things on their own. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Leaving your home in an emergency can be very disruptive, both emotionally and physically. The stress of relocation is especially hard on children, who naturally look to adults for answers to the new uncertainties in their lives. So if your family is in this situation, reassure your children that they're safe and that you will protect them. Let them talk about their feelings and establish a new routine for eating and bedtime. Playtime is important too. All these things can help a displaced child feel a bit better, knowing that the family will be able to one day regain control and get on with their lives.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, we hear what you have to say about fighting. Stay tuned.
For all the latest in-depth news and analysis on the events in South Sudan, tune in to Voice of America's South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. You can email us at southsudan@voanews.com. We're also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That is South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
do you think quality healthcare is a right and should be provided free by governments?
Yes, it's our right, because without us, even those things can build to whom? There's other people who are not working, but if they don't build those hospitals or what, now how about the poor people? How will they treat themselves?
Yeah, the government is supposed to provide
drugs freely. Like I can see now in the hospital here, there's no drugs. Unless you have money, you go to clinic. Yeah, things have to be changed.
It should be our right because diseases are every day and we are not with money. So medical care should be for free.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
It's time for your comments. I'm Gwen Uten. We're still hearing from many of you about the fighting and your call for both sides to start caring about the people, to lay down their weapons, and take the peace talks seriously. Marielle Gabrielle Akun in Kwajak Warup State says, "The war in South Sudan will never ever bear fruit to any of the warring parties. Instead, war is engulfing innocent civilians and causing unbearable situations like famine and epidemics, which are affecting citizens in the country." Akun continues, "I am not a friend to anybody involved in killing innocent South Sudanese because of his personal interest." Mamer Akun Bol in Gogrial writes, "I urge IGAD and the African Union to ensure allied forces invited by the two parties to the conflict progressively withdraw from the theater of war in South Sudan to allow the deployment of IGAD troops to end the war." James Manasseh in Yambio, Western Equatoria State says, "I am crying with tears, urging both the government and rebels to stop the war." He asks, "How do they feel when the blood of children, women, and elderly persons is spilled on the ground?" Manasseh says, "Stop this war." Deng Gwet Ayat in Gogrial West County, Warup State writes, "I don't feel well since I heard the murder of patients in a hospital and others who had hidden in a church by the rebels of Riek Machar in Bentiu." Levi Juma in Maridi, West Equatoria State says, "We are fed up, tired, and sick of the ongoing conflict." He goes on, "We bought our radio sets to listen to good news, not the bad news we are hearing every day. God is watching you." And finally, Andrew Angelo in Yambio, Western Equatoria State writes, "During this Easter season, we pray and hope for everlasting peace in our country. Let the two sides in the current conflict implement the cessation of hostilities agreement they signed." We want to hear what you think. You can reach us by text or on the web at southsudan@voanews.com. I'm Gwen Uten.
We read listener comments on Fridays. These comments come from you, our listeners, and they reflect the views of the commentator only. The comments do not represent the views of anyone on this program or the Voice of America. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thank you, John. Efforts to rescue some 270 people from a sunken passenger ferry in South Korea were hampered for a third day as hopes for survivors fades. Anxiety and anger are growing among relatives of the missing, most of them high school students. Despite earlier reports of success, rescue divers failed in a third day of attempts to get to passengers inside the ship, just 20 kilometers offshore. Oxygen was pumped into the ship in hopes it would reach any survivors. Divers later tried entering a cargo hold, but were not able to go further in a struggle against wreckage, strong currents, and murky water. Afghan officials say a policeman has shot two female journalists, killing one and wounding the other on the eve of the country's election. Authorities say the police officer was arrested following the incident inside a heavily guarded district compound. And finally, Christians around the world today mark the crucifixion of Jesus. The day is known as Good Friday. Christians in the Holy Land commemorate the crucifixion in prayers and processions through Jerusalem's Old City. Christian pilgrims in Jerusalem walked along the route believed to be taken by Jesus on the way to his crucifixion. On Sunday, Christians celebrate Easter, the day believers say Jesus resurrected from the dead. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, Carol. And from Jerusalem, we move to Juba. Some religious leaders and churchgoers are saying there is no reason for Easter celebrations this weekend in Juba. They say as the fighting continues in South Sudan, people are not in the spirit of traditional Easter feasting. Philip Aleu has the story for VOA from Juba.
Anglican Bishop Hilary Garangdeng says he's not celebrating Easter this year. The Malakal-based bishop says he cannot mark what should be a joyous holiday when most of his congregation has been forced from their homes by the current fighting. He says people should spend the day reading the Bible for guidance on how to get out of the current crisis.
We, as Christians, we are repeating the same mistakes we have been doing in the past. Actually, it's part of darkness. It means that Christianity has no impact on us. What we are doing is completely contrary with what the cross brought to us. Cross brought, and we are embracing goodness, love, forgiveness, even if you are hurt.
Foreign Affairs Minister Barnaba Marial Benjamin emphasized Deng's message, saying this year Easter should be about more than just celebrations.
And we would like every citizen to reflect and actually celebrate the Easter by encouraging peace among our people. That is the message. With the Easter coming, we want peace. So let us all work for peace in memory of the suffering of our Lord Jesus.
Christians in Juba are divided on how they plan to spend the holiday. Philip Abiyor says he has no reason to be happy this Easter.
So I find this Easter very dull because the incidents of fighting in Inti State plus the saga at the United Nations camp in Bor, the capital of Jonglei State, are really appalling, and they have eroded the public peace we should have been enjoying by this time of the Easter season. But I believe this is also an opportunity for all South Sudanese to embrace peace and shun this fighting.
But Paul Nyok says difficult times like this are an opportunity to strengthen one's faith.
Easter is very good to encourage South Sudanese to celebrate Easter as the problem is taking place. They have to forget things which had happened, and then they celebrate the day of Jesus as Christians are celebrating it all over the world.
Bishop Deng says the best thing that could happen this Easter is for political leaders to take some of the biblical teaching to heart.
They should come to their conscience and try to help the nation. If Kiir have heard Riek Machar, he should admit that fault. If Riek Machar had offended and killed innocent people, have not given good command to his people, let him also that failure admit it. And we will, for sure, confess our sins. God will forgive us, and we also will forgive one another.
So far, neither President Salva Kiir nor rebel leader Riek Machar have come close to admitting fault in the ongoing crisis that humanitarian groups say has killed at least 10,000 people. For BOA News, I am Philip Aleu in Juba.
And that report by Philip Aleu marks the end of our show for this Good Friday. We leave you with the song Barani by Colonel Mido, who sings in Zande language.
Barani dungangwa turonyo, eri siri moro eri songangwe animangi he auro koto sende, wamakwi ya muhe waduhe mwangwa turonyo. Mufunga niria hefrani arime, muvrani shigani engapaye, wanovwe oguyo, na engapaye kuchirani, kamungbe angafrani batayo, sa asadaya unumutukrani, chikwe gwarapaye, chipari mungbe gangamwe, natandwe natalimwe, yaye kinzi, amina.
Listening to Colonel Mido with that song Barani. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening and have a peaceful Easter holidays. Join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Mani Mangi, hey.